Well, this morning we're going to go back in our teaching. We've been teaching on the subject of faith, and this morning I'm going to, we had started last week talking about the prayer of faith. We're specifically speaking about that. The prayer of faith is one type of prayer. There's other ones mentioned in the Bible, but since we're teaching on faith, we're talking specifically about the prayer of faith. The Lord directed me to do this, and then we're using the foundation of our teaching comes from where we're teaching on faith, but we're going to be teaching a prayer of faith is Mark 11, 23 and 24, because that is the principle of how faith works. This is what Jesus said. Now, when Jesus made a statement about something, it's important. A lot of people have a lot of opinions, but I'm not interested in somebody's opinion. We want to know what the Word of God says. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word. It don't necessarily come because of what somebody says. If the Word is not what's said, and I always appreciate sitting under Kenneth Hagin's ministry, he said, because one of the things he talked about, the Lord said to him, he asked about having more manifestations of the Spirit. He said, one of the reasons why you don't have as many manifestations of the Holy Ghost is because the Word's not being preached. See, people preach a lot of things, but not the Word. A lot of people talk and they go into a lot of things, but the foundation of everything must be based upon the Word. Now, when we talk about the prayer of faith, you can't talk about the prayer of faith without the foundation of Mark 11, 23 and 24, because that lays the foundation of what faith is, the law of faith. We talked about that because Paul wrote to the church at Rome, and we talked last week in Romans, the third chapter, and verses 27 and 28 talk about the law of faith. There's a law of works and a law of faith. We got saved by the law. There's a law. In other words, there's rules that must be followed concerning what faith is. Faith is never blind. Never. There's no such thing as blind faith. No such thing. Faith sees something. In your heart, if you can't see your answer, you ain't got it and you won't have it. Faith must be able to see it. Faith sees. You know, Hebrews 11 chapter tells us faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of what's not seen, what not seen with the physical eye. But faith sees something. It sees something, and really the substance of faith, the substance of hope is faith, and faith is based on the Word. So the Word is your substance. When I see what the Word says, I know that is mine. I have sight to it. It belongs to me. And so you need to come to that place. Most people, to them, sight, you know, when they're talking about faith, they're going to believe something. Basically, when they see it, feel it, or whatever it is, they call it. But there's no faith involved in that at all. Anybody, any sinner can do that. You don't have to do anything. You just follow the law of the flesh, and you can have that. But there's a laws of faith. Now, Mark 11, 23, well, 22 said to have faith in God, and we talked about that, really means have to have the God kind of faith or have faith like God has faith. And then Jesus tells you how God has faith. He turned around and says, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be thou cast in the sea, does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things that he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. And now he took that principle of believing something in your heart and saying it with your mouth. And now he's going to apply that and tell you how to do it in prayer. How you do it with praying. The principle of faith is this. We believe something in our heart and don't doubt in our heart. He didn't say don't doubt in your head. Don't doubt about what you see. He didn't say that. He said doubt in your heart. So in your inner man. See, you know, this is the whole thing. You can follow your inner man when outside everything is going the opposite direction. And your inner man can be at a place of steadfastness and knowing that this thing belongs to you. And outside, everything says, no, it don't, no, it don't, no, it don't. And see, you want to walk by what's on the inside. Get the Word on the inside of you, in your spirit. And then you begin to say what the Word says. Keep the Word on your mouth. God told Joshua, don't let the Word depart from your mouth. Don't go talking other stuff. You talk what the Word says. You say what the Word says. You keep saying it in the sight of everything that's going wrong, feels wrong, everything else. You must control. If you can't control your mouth, you cannot operate in faith. You can't operate in faith. You've got to control your mouth. Because your mouth is a great support to your own faith. If your mouth gets outside line, you'll diminish your own faith by your own talking. And you can't blame what somebody else did or somebody else. You have to blame your mouth. Your mouth did that. So you want to maintain it. Saying the right things helps you maintain your own faith. I don't confess the Word for God's benefit. I confess the Word for my benefit. God's doing fine. He don't need healed. He don't need more money. He don't need nothing. He's doing just great. He don't have big bills coming in and he's wondering how he's going to get them paid. He don't have none of that. Faith is about us. It's not about him. He gave us the means to operate like He does, so we don't worry like He does. That's what faith is about. Hallelujah. So then he says, this is how faith works. He said, therefore I say to you, whatever thing you ask when you pray, believe you receive them. Well, whatever you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them. Now you got to follow this principle. Whatever you ask, you got to believe in your heart and don't doubt. See, it isn't, well, I ask and I didn't get it. Well, there, if you didn't get it, God's a liar. Jesus just told the biggest lie. Now, who's a liar, Jesus or you? Let me tell you, there's a lot of lies preached from pulpits today. Oh, you know, God sometimes says yes, sometimes He says no. We can't find Jesus ever said any of that. That's all men's talk. That's man's religion, and it's not even Christianity. And people run around saying it, saying I'm Christians, and they preach against the Word of God. Now, I ain't saying to be mean to them, but that's exactly what they do. They talk against Jesus Christ Himself. They speak against Jesus. And then turn around on the breath of their mouth, oh, He's Lord, and I love Him. I love that liar. I tell you what, I'm just looking for a liar to love. You know, a lot of craziness going on out here. But he said, so what do? When we pray, we ask for something, believing in our heart. It's the idea, if you're praying, you're asking. There's no such thing as a silent prayer. You got to use your voice. Just like he said, you say to this mountain. When you ask, you use your mouth and you say words. Now understand this. God knows everything you need, but God is not going to give you everything you need unless you ask. Why? Why does God do that? Because it requires faith. If you don't have to ask, it don't require any faith. Faith is the only thing that pleases God. Don't matter. People say, well, God knows what I need. He'll take care of it. No, He won't. If He does, then He don't require any faith of you. And He's saying, what? I'm going to bless you and you don't even have to please me. Well, I'm sorry. That's a lie. It doesn't matter that God knows what you need. God knows everything. God knows you need to straighten out. God knows all those things. Do you straighten out because God knows it? No, you don't. And so we need to get these religious thoughts out of our mind, these religious thinking out of our minds, and get over to the Word of God. God knows what you need, but He said, you got to ask. And now, what He told us, how are we supposed to ask about this thing? What am I supposed to do when I pray? I'm supposed to believe when I pray, this is what I'm supposed to believe and not doubt. That I receive them things. So you can ask for more than one thing. You don't have to go and say, well, you can only ask for one at a time. He said whatever things, and He said them. In other words, you can ask for more than one thing at a time. Isn't that wonderful? Most ministers get nervous if anybody asks for one thing. My God. You know, he might say no, and he might say, they get nervous. What if he asks for more than one? That's definitely sacrilegious. That, you know, that'd make God nervous, and He wouldn't like you anymore, because you ask for more than one thing at a time. Jesus said you could ask for more than one. He made it plural, and then He said them things you ask for. Them things that you ask for that you don't doubt, you're supposed to believe you receive them. When? At the time that you pray. Not when you feel better or you see whatever happened. At the time that you pray, that's what you're supposed to believe. That's the principle of faith for the prayer of faith. The principle is I believe in my heart that what I'm going to ask for, God's going to give it to me, and I believe He gave it to me when I ask for it, not when I feel it. He said, then you'll have them. That's when you get them. This is why people don't ever see things come, because they have never believed they received them. They're always waiting to see for when they'll show up. Then they'll believe they got it. They feel better. I got healed because I feel better now. I got healed. I'm sorry. I was healed 2,000 years ago. I didn't know it. Nobody ever preached it. I went to church as a kid thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of times. And nobody ever told me I was healed. We were always, you know, you were lucky if you ever got anything from God, that, you know, you were a scumbag anyhow. And, you know, He saved you in spite of your stupidity, and just be glad He's taken you to heaven, you ugly thing. And I just, you know, I wondered, these people pray for me that I might be true and faithful to the end. Man, when I saw the saints couldn't stand, I knew there was no hope for it. So you have those things go on. But this is what the Word tells us what we're supposed to do. You know, they never preach to us with any confidence that God would do something. You can't believe God sometimes says yes, sometimes says no, sometimes He says wait, sometimes He says maybe. That's an impossibility to have faith. You can't have faith. How could you believe if you don't know what He's going to do? What are you going to believe? Well, He's faithful. Yeah, at what? What's He faithful at? Faithful at a guessing game? Is that what he's faithful at? Well, to most of Christianity, that's it. It's a guessing. Christianity's a guessing game. We have a Christian dartboard. And God's throwing the darts and he's blindfolded. And he can't see. And he's throwing them. He don't know if he's going to answer it or not. He's just throwing them. And over there is a yes, no, maybe, sometimes. But most of them fall in as I don't care whether you get anything or not. That's where most of the darts go. So, but anyhow, hallelujah. My God don't have that dartboard. Jesus Christ laid out the principle of faith and how it works. Now, we talked last week, and I'm not going to go into it. Verse 25 spoke, Jesus specifically spoke, and there's an area of walking in love with people. Your faith is not going to work if you don't walk in love. If you're holding things against people, Jesus said, if you have something, in other words, when you're praying, he said, when you pray, in other words, when you pray this prayer of faith, if you have anything against someone or you got a problem, you get that fixed. Don't bother praying the prayer of faith if you don't. Don't bother praying the prayer of faith if you don't. It won't work. We looked at other scriptures. It's, you know, Jesus said the same things. We found, looked at the Lord's Prayer. And in Luke, he ended the Lord's Prayer. In Matthew, he ended the Lord's Prayer by saying if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. See, we talk about the Lord's Prayer, and he told them, see, you waste your time praying, you don't walk in love. Waste your time praying. See, people don't get that today. You know, it's a lot of the faith message don't talk about that much. You don't tell people why, you know, there's causes of why things don't work. So we dealt with that. Now, one of the things we dealt with last week, and we talked about this, and I was going to do a lot more teaching in this area, but the Lord spoke to me on Friday. He wants me to go to something else. We'll come back to this later. But in John 16, I want to read to you there was something Jesus said. Jesus said this on the night that he was betrayed. He told the disciples. And they were really, you know, they weren't too happy because he's talking about leaving. And what happens, he's going to die for their sin. They, you know, he told them about this stuff, but they still didn't get it. And he was going to be raised from the dead. And so he's going to tell them something about a change that was coming because he was going to be raised from the dead. And in John the 16th chapter, in verse 22, Jesus said this, therefore you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. So see, after his resurrection, his disciples, and boy, weren't they sorrowful. He came, when he found them, they're hiding out in a room somewhere. They're hidden out someplace. He shows up, changed everything, didn't it? When they turned around and went down to Jerusalem, when he told them to go down there and wait, they weren't sad and gloomy anymore. You know, they were all, you know, down there in Jerusalem waiting for the promise of the Father. Well, everything changed when Jesus was raised from the dead. Now, he said this, in that day, in other words, the day of his resurrection, that day was going to change things. He said, you will ask me nothing. Now, he's telling us about prayer. He said, you don't ask me anything. In other words, when we go to praying, we don't pray to Jesus. Doesn't mean you can't fellowship and talk to Jesus. But if you want something, you don't ask Jesus for it. You know, this is where, you know, like, you know, Catholicism has a thing. Well, you ask Mary and then Mary will ask Jesus. And that's the biggest bunch of garbage. Jesus ain't the one that answers your prayer to begin with. See, it's sad because it's false religion. It's false. It teaches people that you still are not good enough to go to God. I don't go to Jesus to get my prayers answered. Jesus tells us, he said, you don't ask me anything. He said, now most assuredly, I say to you, Jesus said, most assuredly, I'm telling you this. Is this a truth or a lie? I'm telling you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. In other words, my Father will give you anything that you ask in my name. That's what Jesus Christ said. Whatever you ask, he said, whatever you ask the Father in my name, the Father will give it to you. Now, you need to understand this. This is a whole concept of difference of when it comes to Christianity. Under Christianity, we are all priests of God. Everybody is. See, under the law, if we look at, you were in the days of the temple. If you weren't a priest, you didn't go into the temple. You went into the temple courtyard. The only ones that were allowed inside the temple were the priests. They went in. You wanted to sacrifice an offering. You went in and your offering was taken there in the court, in the place where they sacrificed. But you didn't go inside. You didn't go inside the temple where all the showbread and all that was and where the holies of holies. You didn't go into that places. That was the presence of God was in that place. You didn't go there. You had men who represented you before God. And today, most of Christianity and most Christians, and even Spirit-filled Christians, even look at their ministers in that way. As if, you know, I don't bear you before God, folk. You can go to God yourself. You go to the Father yourself. See, we have a lot of false religion today. A lot of false religion going on out here. It's not true. You can approach the Father yourself. And see, the high priest, the high priest was only one person. Once a year could go into the holies of holies in the presence of God. That was it. Took the blood and their sins were forgiven for a year. And then they were back to base one again after the year was over to do it all over again. But they couldn't go before God. Jesus, this is a new thing that Jesus says here concerning prayer, is the fact that every individual who believes on Jesus Christ can approach the Father of God themselves and get the answered prayer without having to go through somebody else. See, we don't need to go to a priest and confess our sins and then he tells us what we do to make penance for what we did. We don't have that. Actually, they didn't even have that in the old covenant. That was a good invention they made, you know, on that. You didn't do penance. You went and just took your sacrifice in, and that's what you did. And when you shed the blood of the sacrifice and that stuff, your sins were forgiven. And so those are the things that you did. But they went to a priest. We don't have to go to a priest. We, like 1 John 1:9, what do? We confess our sins. It says, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Who? The Father. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So as we go directly to God, we don't have to sneak around, do anything, get somebody special. This is the whole thing. And this is really the priesthood of the believer. And today, most, you know, the Bible tells us that we are priests and kings. And so we are priests and kings before God. We stand in a position of authority as like a king would stand, but we also stand in the place of authority as in the priesthood. You can go directly to God in the name of Jesus yourself. You don't have to get Jesus to get an answer, a prayer for you. You know, I hear people say about, you know, well, you know, you pray for something and Jesus says, well, it's okay, you can give it to him. He does not. None of that goes on. That don't happen. I've heard, you know, big name Spirit-filled ministers say that knucklehead stuff. So you go directly to God yourself. God knows you're a believer. You have the authority to use the name of Jesus. You can walk in the throne room of God yourself and say, Father, I'm here in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And he looks at you and says, yeah, you can have anything Jesus has because you're seated on his same throne. You're in him. You're the same. See, most of Christianity has us groveling around the throne trying to get something. There's very little throne Christianity today. Even among the Spirit-filled people, there's very little throne Christianity. It's all people trying to get on the throne and thinks Jesus keeps kicking you off. You know, he's up there, get out, you scumbag, you. Who do you think you are trying to get on my throne? See, we need to get over and walk in the light of the truth of the Word of God. We need to walk in our place. We have been given the authority. If we would talk about in our how we do it here from a legal standpoint, it would be like if you gave somebody the power of attorney. Really, that's what Jesus did here. Now we have power of attorney, and power of attorney, when they write those things up, they write a lawyer will write that thing up for, you know, they'll have, usually it's a limited. It isn't over everything with a person unless a person can't take care of anything themselves or something. You might have it, but they'll limit it usually. We need to understand the inheritance that God gave us through Jesus Christ, that entire inheritance that we got. You're not going to get the inheritance when you go to heaven. If you don't get it here, you don't get it, you don't even get to go there. An inheritance was given when a person dies. Did Jesus die? Well, the inheritance has already been given. When he died, the inheritance was given. Now, the one who died raised from the dead, but the inheritance was still given because of his death. He didn't come back to life and say, hey, hold it, we're taking it back. No, we're taking it. No, he didn't do that. You see, we went just like, you know, I've had inheritances already. You know, my parents died and things, people died. And you know what they do? They have these attorneys. And whatever is stated on the document that they give that states what belongs to me, that there they tell you and you get that. Well, you got a book and it tells you what is yours. And so understand this. It's about your inheritance. This is about what God gave you. See, you need to be going to God about what God gave you, not always trying to get somebody else to do it. You go to God. It's your inheritance. He handed you. That's what the New Testament. They used to use the term for will and testament. Today we don't use that. They'll just talk about the will. But that's what the testament was the will. This is the will of God. It's been given to me. I'm not going to get it. It's been given to me. And the authority that I have in that will is to be able, Jesus said, now, since you got the will, that's what's going to happen, you don't have to go there. I died, gave you the will under my name. God ain't going to hold nothing back from you that's on that will, because if he does, he's a liar. It isn't his will, it's mine. I wrote it. The Father would be doing illegal if he said you couldn't have it. It's illegal. If I turned around and I had somebody gave me something, will somebody, no, the lawyer would say, no, I like that. I'm going to keep that. Well, here's most Christians. Oh, man, I thought I was going to get that. I just did. Oh, man. I guess if God wanted me to have it, I'd have it. Oh, and so it didn't come, so I guess I'm not gonna have it. You know, in the natural, we get so mad, we get ourselves a lawyer, go after the guy. But you know, when it comes to Christianity in the church, not a Christian, just roll over and say, devil, just kick me. You know, just do what you want. Kick me around, just go ahead. I'm just being so humble. I don't want any of these earthly goods. Well, send it to my house. Send it over to my, I know what to do with it. I know what to do. Send it on over. You see, we have a will. It's been given to us. But this will, you need to take it, you know. You need to take it. You know, you could have a will written out to you by somebody and you refuse to take it. There's people who've done that. I know some crazy people. They inherited a storage room thing that was full of stuff, and they wouldn't take it because the number on the storage was 666. So they, oh, no, that's the devil's number. Oh, my God, we can't take it. I thought, you bunch of religious people, just stupid, as dumb as a stick. Dear God, I'll take it. Dear God, I'll take anything the devil stole. I'll take that sucker. Dear God, you know, if I hear any of you getting those things like that, let me know. I'm going to slap you personally. But I'm going to slap you before I pray for you. I'm going to tell you that. Say, wake up, you space cadet. Oh, my God. I'd hate to think anybody here is that dumb. You're not that dumb, are you? Okay. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. So we're told you have the authority to use the name of Jesus. And what it does is just like if you got the authority to use a person's name by, you know, legally to care for their stuff, your name side is just as if their name was signed. So you have the authority of their name. That's what Jesus told us. You have the authority of his name to whatever belongs to him that he won for you and he put in the will, it belongs to you. It's yours. See, and you need to get a hold of that. If you don't have that revelation, you're always going to be weak in faith because you're going to always trying to get stuff from God you're not sure that you can have. You're always trying. This is people. That's why sometimes he says yes, sometimes he said no. See, they didn't go believing they were going to get anything. And they're just thinking, well, if God wants me to have it. I've heard people, well, if God wants me to have it, I'll have it. And I just always look at them and smile and say, no, you won't. And they just look at you like, huh, well, who do you think you are? Well, I said, see me next year and ask me if you got it. And then you see them next year and they ain't got it. And they won't have it. Because there's no faith in that. You want to please God by believing what he said in the book belongs to you. Don't talk any different about it. Don't, if people are going to hammer it in your ear, just turn them off. Don't pay attention to them. You know, I don't care what some guy comes along and tells me what his experience was. If it don't line up with the word, I don't even care what he said. You don't want to do and allow anything to diminish your faith in what God said. You always want to keep yourself strong in what God said. If God said, you like Jesus said, I can ask the Father anything in his name, he'd give it to me. That's what Jesus said. Personally, I don't want to hear any other thing said on the subject. I'm not interested in what anybody else has to say on the subject. I'm going to tell you what, Jesus ain't a liar. Now, we're not going to go over completely into that today. We'll come back over more to that because there's more scriptures that talk in that line. But the Lord spoke to me to go over in this area to talk, because we're talking about this because this prayer of faith is a petition prayer. Jesus said this in when we read over here in John 16, in verse 24, he said, "Until now you've asked me nothing," he said, "in my name. Ask and you will receive," what? "That your joy would be full." I asked God for something and he said no. Oh, my joy is so full. Is your joy full with the unanswered prayer? It's amazing how they don't go around on these scriptures. We just leave these out. We hide those somewhere because why? They don't fit our theology. Ask why? So you receive. So the whole thing of it is, Jesus is speaking in the intent when you ask the Father, he's going to give it to you. You were going to receive it, he said. If you believed you received it, you were going to receive it. You were going to. See, I've learned over the years, and when I first started off as a Christian, I was surprised how this worked. Today, I am surprised if it don't work. Today, it shocked me if it didn't. Because I've learned this, it is never God's fault if it don't work. I missed it somewhere. Don't you start a religion based on your lack of faith to try to comfort you in your unbelief. If you do, next week you'll be in more unbelief and you'll just go down the tube in more and more and more unbelief. You'll just be on the unbelief roller coaster that only has a hill that goes down. Nothing ever comes up. If it doesn't work, then you stop and find out why didn't it work. Because I go over and I look at what Jesus said. And I look at, let's hold it, Jesus said this. Am I really believing that, what he said? You got to go back and check yourself in the Word. That's why going back over thing, I keep myself, see, I go over and I study this stuff and I look, I keep myself to understanding and staying in the principles of faith. You can never study faith too much. Why? You want to please, I don't want to please God too much, so I'm going to stay away from faith. You know, I don't want to study faith a lot. You know, you can get carried away trusting God. You know that? That's what they told me. I'm so extreme. You can get carried away. Carry me away, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Carry me away from these idiots out here that can't read. Went to college. Can't read. Don't know what simple words mean. Give them is and the, my words. Like Bill Clinton. Depends on what is means. I don't know. What is this? Oh my. See, you sit around there, nobody knows. Been educated above their intelligence. See, it's simple. Hallelujah. God has a plan. Petition prayer. We're to ask the Father God in the name of Jesus. We petition the Father. We don't petition Jesus. We petition the Father. Now, asking requires what? Faith. If he gave you what you need without asking faith, it wouldn't involve faith. You wouldn't please him. That's why he does it. He wants you to please him. He wants you to trust him. He wants you to trust. What would you think if you had a child and they would just sit around and just expect you? Well, you know I needed food. I'm 17 years old. You know I needed food. Why'd you make it for me? Man, my mama would have smacked you upside the head. My mama would have never put up with you 2 seconds. You know, just keep tying my shoes. You know I need them tied, not me. Fall over them and break your neck, you idiot. Set us all free from your stupidity on the earth. My God. So we have the authority in prayer. And our authority has been given by God. The answer is in that authority of the name of Jesus. We go to the Father in that name. Say, Father, here I am. I'm in Jesus' name. I'm just coming before you. And I want to thank you. You know, you should approach prayer. When I go to the prayer of faith, I always go, God, I just want to thank you because I know when I'm coming for it belongs to me and I got it. How do you? Because you said in your word, Jesus Christ, your son. Now, they know the Bible says he can't lie. God can't lie. So you can't lie about this, Lord. Am I saying those things to him? I'm saying those things for me to remind me in his presence who and what he is. Most people, they go in prayer and call faith prayer. It ain't nothing but a bunch of whining because they're a problem. I'm going to tell you, don't go before God with a whine. If you thought he's going to answer your prayer, you ought to run in that door with a shout. He said, come boldly to the throne of grace. He said, don't come in wimping and whining. Did he say that? Come on in wimping and whining and you'll find grace to help in time of need, you whiner. Just wimp enough. We're going to go over and teach on some of these things, what the Bible says about doing this kind of stuff is going on. It's why things don't work. See, you want to go in and say, God, you know what? I ain't standing in your presence because I'm wonderful. I'm standing here because you're wonderful. That's why I'm here. Reason I can answer prayer ain't because I did a thing. All I did is receive Jesus Christ by faith, and he did all the work. But I'm here to collect on the work he did. That's what you're doing. You're collecting on the work that he did. If you're going there based on you earned it, stay out of the room. You're wasting your time. We go on the basis he earned it for us. I'm here to collect on the will. You know, when it's funny, on the times that I've inherited things for people, I never got anything that I earned. Never won. On the will, it was all stuff other people earned. And they turned around and left it to me. Christians are always trying to earn it. Well, I don't know. You know, we're just not good enough. I didn't have to be good enough. I thank God. If it was based on good enough, just Lord Jesus, send us all to hell now and get this thing over with. Why are we living here going through this nonsense? What's the point of all this? It's crazy. The whole point of it, God did all this and said, now you guys can have it. And everybody's sitting around saying, gee, I wonder if it belongs to us. I wonder if he'll really do that. I wonder if he's going to. No, he's going to do it. The will's been written. He told us what it is. Hallelujah. You approach the Father in his name. You have the right to God to use that name, hallelujah, to get anything. Now you go into his presence. You must have faith in the authority of that name, the name of Jesus. And that faith will give you what you ask for in that authority. So you have the authority of that name. That's what the will is about. The will is about what's in that will, and it's the authority of that person's name. They signed that will. You know, it don't matter if the attorney signed it. It's if their name's on that thing. And their name's on that thing and said you can have what they have, things that they have. You get those things that they have. And so, praise God. Hallelujah. And people say about, well, you can't outgive God. Well, that's sure enough. You can't outgive God. Well, I mean, you look at the benefits of our inheritance that we've gotten that's in the New Testament. It says we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I mean, what else do you want? Is there something that, you know, that is greater than heaven could probably bless you with? Is there anything? Well, sometimes says God says yes and no. Well, then that statement Paul wrote is a lie. You didn't get blessed with every spiritual blessing. You didn't get them all. Now people say, he says spiritual blessing. Well, salvation was a spiritual blessing and it changed my physical life. If spiritual things don't change your physical life, they ain't worth spit. They have no power to them. Who cares? If it don't change nothing, who cares? You know, this whole idea, well, it's spiritual. Like, I get spiritual things, they have no value and don't do anything. Well, then keep them, God. I don't need them. What I need here in this earth is the things that help me here. How can I do the will of God without his blessings? You know, well, God wants you sick for a reason. Then why does he want to send me to India? If he wants me sick, I'm going to stay at home. That, you know, he's so, I'm going to make you sick and then tell you to go somewhere. I mean, you talk about stupidity. I mean, I believe ministers stay up at night trying to think of dumb things to say. It might sound unkind, but I'm tired of the body of Christ being kicked around by idiots and say they're men of God. What God? Who's God? Man, my Jesus is good. You can call me an idiot and crazy. You can do all you want, but you call Jesus an idiot and I'm coming out fighting. He's perfect. He never did nothing wrong. And if he has done wrong and he's wrong, we ain't got a chance, folks. Hallelujah, he does right all the time. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you, he says. He will. He said he will. He didn't say he might. Sometimes he does. Sometimes he does. Sometimes he don't. Sometimes. No, he said he will. Praise God. Now I want to look over. This is what the Lord talked to me. Let's go over to James, the first chapter, because James talks about the prayer of faith. We want to look at the prayer. James talks specifically about the prayer of faith and its principle and how it works. James understood how faith worked. It's amazing to me. James is one of the books that I like. Yet James is a book in the Bible that the church don't use much. And if they do use it, they twist it to make it sound something. In fact, if we look back at Martin Luther thought that James wasn't a book to be put in the Bible. He thought it shouldn't be there. It's because when he talked about faith without works, he thought, works. James wasn't talking about works for salvation. He was talking about works you do because you're saved. You know, if you don't change what you do and you got saved, you didn't get saved. Nobody got saved and ended up to be the same person. I mean, Paul wrote, said, any man's in being Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The church world has today. All you got's forgiveness of sin, and you're just still the old scumbag you were. And you're just going to live like that scumbag. You're just going to sin. Well, I'm sorry, that didn't happen to me. I don't know, did it get a special salvation? No, I got the one that millions of people got before I ever came along, with changed lives. Today, it is the faithless, wordless salvation preached by ministers today that produced nothing. And people stay the same when it's preached. They stay the same. You're going to be just like the words you let preach to you that you take. You're going to be just like it. You're going to be identical to it. You see, that's why you hear the kind of thing. You say, preach the word, preach the word, preach the word. Tell people what the Bible says. Why? It inspires God's faith in you so you can take a hold of the things God has set aside for you. That's what it's for. You'll have faith in God. You want to have faith in God. Hallelujah. I sure do. Now in James, the first chapter, James said this in verse 5. I want to read this to you. James, first chapter, he said, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Now he's talking here, what, about asking God? So in other words, this is a prayer, isn't it? If anybody lacks wisdom, he said, this is what you're supposed to do. So in the area of wisdom, or no matter what it is, this principle falls exactly the same. He's just telling them of people who need wisdom. You need wisdom? You know, we can need wisdom about a lot of things. Most people use this over in the areas of just, you know, and natural things, which you can. There's things I've asked God wisdom of, how to do certain things. What do I do in this situation? You know what? I've many times asked God things about, and I learned, I used to do it all the time when I worked at Reese's, when I was in the department I was in, where I was a group leader, and we'd have machinery break down or something would happen, and you're broke down, and there were can't figure out things going on. And I used to just say to the Lord, Lord, I want to thank you for showing me what's going on here. We can get this thing back up and running again. You see, I'd ask for some wisdom because, see, we wouldn't know. You know, the electrician, mechanics would be trying to figure things out. And time again, I would get all of a sudden coming to me what the problem was. Time and time again, we go check it out. That's exactly what the Lord showed me. But see, the reason people don't find it, they don't ask. See, I'd stop and ask. God ain't going to show you just because you need to know. Understand that. You needing to know is not why. You need to learn to talk to God. Your life needs to be talking to God, not sitting around with a closed mouth all the time and worried about somebody might think you're weird because your lips are moving and nobody's around. Well, I'm sorry. God's around Ed all the time. He hangs around me because he's looking for somebody to talk to because others won't. So he hangs around me and talks to me. I'm not worried. I've had people say, you talk to yourself? No, I talk to God. My God, we didn't talk to God all the time. But I'm a talking. And sometimes I do talk to myself. I say, Ed, wake up. Do what's right. And you need to do that more to you instead of telling the other guy all the time. Tell you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's good preaching, folks. If you lack wisdom, ask God. What does he say? Who sometimes says yes, sometimes says no, and maybe he might or he may not, or he wants you stupid for some good, important reason. Huh. All that's been added by the church. All that's been put in these things. All of it, all the time. No, he tells us here, what God, who gives to all liberally. He said, without reproach. I like that. If you look that up in the Greek, I don't know, they use the word reproach there, which is not good at all in translation. It really means the idea that God gives it liberally, and it don't matter if you messed up and did something wrong and blew it, he's still going to give you the wisdom if you'll ask him for it, even though you were a dummy and did wrong. In other words, he's not going to hold your stupidity against you. Aren't you glad of that? Hallelujah. I'd never get nothing. He'd always be, you don't need nothing. You don't need anything. You don't need nothing here. So, he gives it liberty. He said, without reproach. He said, and it what? And it will. There again, that will. See, will can never be translated maybe, could, sometimes yes, sometimes can never be translated. Unless you go into a seminary someplace where they told you that God don't do stuff. Then you'll translate like, well, you need to understand. He said he will. It will be given to you. In other words, this wisdom that you have will be given to him. But now listen to what he says. Now he's going to clarify. What? But let him ask in faith with nothing doubting. What do we have the principle, Mark 11:23? Let him ask. You got to say words that he believes in his heart and don't doubt. He can't have any doubt. You see, James is teaching the exact same principle. Nothing's changed. He's teaching Mark 11:23 and 24. It's identical. You believe and you don't have any doubt. If a person believes, now listen to what he says. Now, see, James, you know what? See, I preach like James does. James just was downright straight. That's why a lot of ministries don't like James, because James, if you were an idiot, he'd call you one. He didn't do it to be mean. He's trying to tell you. If you don't wake up that you're doing wrong, then just, you know, people, well, God loves you. And no, he likes you the way you are. No, he don't. I found out there's things about God didn't like me the way I was at all. He told me about it. God wants to bring changed lives. God wants to bring changed lives. Now, what does he say? You ask in faith, nothing doubted. So what are you doing? It's following the principle of Mark 11:23 and 24. We're asking with nothing doubting. Now listen to what he says. For he who doubts is like the wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. Why? You can't, the prayer of faith will not work without following the laws of that prayer. It will not work. There are rules that say, and James is just telling you, if you don't do it that way, you're not going to get it. Why lie to people and make them think they're going to get something they ain't going to get? Why lie to people about it? What does it say about that individual? He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Double-mindedness. This is what the Lord... I was looking at it because I've heard people say a lot of things. I've said things over the years about double-mindedness, thinking of the mind of the flesh, the mind of the spirit. But you know what the Lord said to me? Double-minded? He said this to me on Friday. He said, double-mindedness is this. He said, a person prays and said, they asked me about faith. And he said, sometimes they did ask in faith, believe they receive it. But in a short period of time, nothing changes. Then they come back again to me like I didn't hear them the first time. And they come back and ask again and again, and they're back and forth. They believe a while, then they come over and come back again. Double-minded. One time they believe they receive, then they go on for a period of time, well, I must not have got it. Let's go back and ask him again. Double-minded. That person, he said, listen to this, they are unstable in all their ways. Most Christians are unstable. Most of Christianity is unstable. And we're going to teach on these things and go over it because they say, well, you ask, you just keep on asking and keep on asking and keep on asking. We're going to look at what Jesus and what the apostles wrote about this stuff, about doing that kind of things. We're going to look at what Jesus said about it because we're going to find out he didn't agree with that. We're going to find out the other apostles didn't agree on that stuff either. But these are the what people believe. Well, if I just keep asking enough, keep hounding God enough, then eventually he'll give it to me. Well, you know, I was a parent with kids. And when my kids hounded me, they never got any closer to getting what they want. I wasn't like most parents today. I learned from my daddy. My daddy was a guy. My dad, one thing I said, my dad's great virtue was, and his biggest virtue, my dad was a man of his word. If my dad said no, and you came back and asking again, you know, just call the ambulance before you come back and ask. Because make sure it got there in time to resuscitate you. You didn't go back, but Dad said no. No was the answer. He wouldn't discuss it again. If my dad told you not to do something, you went and did it. My dad would never talk to you about it again. He would just grab a hold of you. When there's time, if he was out in public, you did it, you didn't, but he'd get home. He'd just grab you and just give you a whoop and never say a thing about what it was about or nothing. Just whoop you, but you knew it was about. He said no, and you did. You might have got away with it in public, but you didn't want to go home. No. You were hoping the rapture took place that day. If it didn't take you, maybe it'll take Dad, and I won't have to face him. But see, I learned, it's number one I know. And this is one, to me, is God is word. I realized you've got to be a person of your word. Your faith will never work if you're not a person of your word. You keep saying to your kids all the time, don't do this, don't do that, and they go ahead and do it, and you just keep that stuff up. Your word's no good. Don't be surprised your faith don't work. Your word's no good. You got to learn to keep your word. You got to learn no's no. What scripture say? Let your yes be yes and your no, no. Most people are maybes 99% of the time. They never have yes and no. And they come along and say, why don't faith work? Faith works on the foundation that God is true and not a liar. Faith works in the fact that when I come to Him, I'm true and not a liar. I didn't get born again a liar. My words. See, you got to learn to keep your words. Because if your words aren't under control, your faith is going to be damaged all the time. You got to keep your words under control. You got to keep your words. And when you tell somebody you're going to do something, you need to do it. You know, you don't back out of something without the approval of the person that you said you were going to do it for. If you back out of it, you're called this, in God's eyes, a liar. If I told somebody I was going to do something and I need to change it, I've had to do it. I want the person to say, look, I can't do that right now. Something came up, but if you'll allow me to, and I'll do this, I'll do it for you later on. If they say, no, I need it now, that's it. Whatever else that plan goes. Over the years, I've had so many Christians say they're going to do things and something else come up, and they just, oh, I believe the Lord's telling me to do this. I don't care if God told me to do something. I keep my word. God keeps His word. Even if it costs me, I'll keep my word. My father was like that. And you know what? He lived a blessed life. He was a man of his word. You need to become people of your word. You know, my dad got in his older age. It's one of the things I realized concerning his health and all that kind of stuff. Your mouth has more control over your health than anything. I learned that. Health problems and stuff going on is because people have unguarded mouths. You start getting your mouth in control. Start getting your mouth under control. You guard what you talk and what you say. I don't owe anybody an explanation on stuff. That if I, you know, why do you have this problem? I don't owe them explanation to sit down and talk a bunch of unbelief with them to keep them happy. Dear Lord, we're just so busy trying to keep people happy, God's disgusted. I'm trying to keep God happy. I want this kingdom thing flowing for me. I don't want to be building roadblocks. You know, as Kenneth Copeland, I remember some years ago, talked about there was a pipe of water dripping down on him. He had the vision and he tried the water and he said it was just irritating. He said this water just dripping his face and he said in his vision and he said it was just, well, it would be. You're standing there and water dripping on you. And just, he said, Lord, what is that? Lord said, that's your spirit. It's full of junk. It's irritating, isn't it? Well, I found out that's what I'm not. You get a bunch of junk in your inner man, you live an irritated life. That's why so many people have irritated lives. Their inner man's full of junk. And what God can give is just a little drip. It's enough to let you know there's a God, but not enough to do anything for you. It's just irritating. You know He's there, but you're not getting anything out of it. And when he told that story, it related to me. I said, I can understand that one. I've been there already when it's only been dripping and it's irritated. And I found out, yeah, that's his problem. If I get things straightened out in my heart and get my mouth in line and understand this, you really can't get your heart in line if you don't get your heart and your mouth together, working together. It ain't going to work. It's like I said, no matter, God knows what you need. You ain't getting it without faith. It ain't going to happen. God don't give you things because you have a need. Jesus told us, we're teaching on the on this concerning the prayer of faith. Now we know this with the prayer of faith because it follows the same principle. You know that in Mark 11, 23 and 24, we say to the mountain, we believe and we don't doubt. That's what Mark 11, 24 says. James said, so when you ask in prayer, Jesus told us to ask. Under the authority of His name, we have the right to ask. Now, He said you can't go doubting. In other words, you cannot have doubt in your heart about it. You have to believe. He said the person who don't believe, He said, well, that person who isn't doing it by faith, don't let them think they're going to get anything from God. Now, did God say no? No, the person did. God never said no. God will never say no. If I operate and follow the laws of faith, you know what? It's just like an airplane. If I'm out here in an airplane and that thing has a propulsion system and the wings are right on it and I take off and it flies, it don't fall out of the sky. It just keeps going. If all the laws are set right, and in most, that thing will just fly and fly and fly till it runs out of propulsion, you know, if it runs out of fuel. But you land, but that thing will fly. What? As long as you follow the laws and the rules, that thing flies. See, the only time airplanes crash is when something changes the rule. Something goes wrong with propulsion or something goes wrong with something, and then it quits working. But as long as everything is working in line with lift and propulsion, that plane flies up and gravity don't pull it down. In fact, gravity helps that thing from staying in the air because of all the laws and everything that they have. All those laws work together. That's why I say everything works together for good. He says this in Scripture, who are called according to His purpose. It don't say everybody's going to work out. If you're called, if you're in His purpose, it'll work for you. And if you're not, it's not going to. You see, just like that plane is made in a purpose to fly. And it follows the laws that govern the earth. And I want to tell you what, that thing flies along in the air. And it just flies, works great. Well, faith is the same way. As long as you follow the laws, it works great. You'll be flying. You'll be getting answers to your prayers. It'll work for you. Now, understand this about faith. You can't take the prayer of faith and work it for everybody else. This is talking about what you want, the things you like. You know, you pray for things that maybe I don't like. You know, I had a guy one time telling me he was going to pray that, you know, God would give me a certain type of car. And I said, well, you pray all you want. I don't want that car. You ought to ask me what I want if you want to pray for me. So one thing is you'll find, Apostle Paul, every time he asked for prayer in the New Testament, he always told the people exactly what he wanted them to pray for. He never just said, pray for me. This is why prayer don't work in the church. Everybody's making their own things up. They're praying stuff for people that people never even wanted or wanted to do. I had a guy one time praying me for a certain type of ministry. I said, God never called me to that. You can pray night and day all you want over there. You're wasting time, wasting your time, everything else. Well, I believe God called you. Well, He'll notify me. I'll let you know. I think He would tell me. Wouldn't you think He'd let me know about it? And the person I was talking to about, they didn't even know what they were supposed to be doing. But they got the devil over there telling them, minding in everybody else's business and don't even know what they're supposed to be doing. Good preaching, Ed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Well, these are good things. Falling in line with these things. We need to come in line. Hallelujah. One of the reasons that people, like whether they're healed or whatever else, it comes along because the prayer of faith was not prayed as many times as what happens. The prayer of faith. I want you to look at this in James in the 5th chapter because James tells us about the prayer of faith. We need to have this again. And he tells us concerning healing. It's the prayer of faith. Now, so James is talking about, we need to understand this when we talk about the prayer of faith. James already told us how the prayer of faith works. And it's right in line with what Jesus said, Mark 11, 23 and 24. It's identical. So James come along and says this. I appreciate James. I was going to read this one scripture, but it just came to me that I should. I had a sense this morning and I just didn't go over there. But James wrote this. In verse 13 of the 5th chapter, James says, is any among you suffering? It says, let him pray. He said, are any of you suffering? Let him pray. It didn't say, ask him to get other people to pray. You pray. If you're suffering, you pray. This is why people don't get answers from God and get things. Follow the Bible. James said, if you're suffering, you're supposed to pray. Now listen what James goes on. Listen what James said in this verse. He said, if anyone's cheerful, let him sing a song. Well, let me tell you, if you were happy, would you call me on the phone and ask me to sing for you? Well, why wouldn't you? You suffer? You think it's some big spiritual giant thing to call somebody else and ask them to do the prayer? Woo! Glory to God. There goes this prayer chain stuff. I'll tell you what, so-called prayer chains. Everybody asking people to do what they don't do. I ain't against the prayer chain, but I'm against a lot of this unbelieving prayer chain stuff. Has people believe you get somebody else, they ain't praying. You know, I've had people come along and ask me to pray for certain things for them, and we had prayer and they wouldn't come. I say, look, if it ain't important to you to be there, I ain't praying for it. Forget it. You don't pray about it, I don't either. I said, most people, we get somebody else to pray for it, and I just go do what I want, and it's going to show up. And then it don't show up, and they say, well, you know, that praying stuff don't work. Well, I'd say stick with the Bible. See, I'm giving you what the Bible says. This is what the Word of God says. I'm not making this up to try to cause trouble to anybody. The trouble's already been caused by people telling you to do wrong things. The trouble's already been caused. Let's stick with what the Bible says. You know, if I'm suffering, I need to get, first, you know, I found this out. If I get things straight on the inside of me, then I can get somebody to agree with me in something. But I ain't got it straight inside of me. Don't do me. I can get everybody else to try to pray. What I need to do is get me straight and then get somebody to join in prayer with me. Now we got something working. It's called the prayer of agreement that'll bring anything to pass you need. This is what most people want. I'm an unbelief, don't got a thing. You pray by your faith and get it for me. What do you think? Pray for me. What? You go home to be with Jesus so we don't have to put up with you anymore? What do you want me to pray? You see, we need to get away. God's trying to tell us what to do, how to operate in things, and what to do if we want answers. He's telling us what to do. Now, let's go on. He tells us what to do here. If he says in verse 14, is any among you sick? Isn't that amazing? You would never write that to the church world today. Today you would say, is there anybody well in your church? Is anybody there feeling half decent? Is anybody out there doesn't need a doctor within the next 24 hours? Okay, sound good. He said, is any among you sick? It would appear that that was the norm, that Christians were well. See, we need to, you know, I'm just, you know, is any among you sick? What does that do? It says, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. It says, and the prayer of faith will save the sick. They have it translated saved, but that's a word translated healed. It's where healed, delivered, set free. It's the same word that was used when Jesus healed the sick and it said, you know, they were healed. It's the same word, same Greek word. They translated saved here. I have no clue what that's about. But anyhow, it says that the prayer of faith will save the sick. It says what? And the Lord will raise him up. And the Lord might heal him or he might not, or maybe he will or maybe he won't. It said the Lord will. Why? He's talking about the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith's been prayed. The prayer of faith has been prayed. The Lord will raise him up. And it goes on there. In other words, if you've committed any sin, he will be forgiven. In other words, if you've missed the mark, remember this God and wisdom and we read about, he will give liberally those even without reproach. In other words, if you blew it, he'll even forgive you and heal you. Ain't that good news? We were a knucklehead and God still wants to bless us. We sinned and God said, no, I didn't want to run over you with a truck. I want to bless you. But see, you have to go to him. Number one, we need to understand this. The healing goes by the prayer of faith. The oil doesn't produce anything. The oil does not produce healing. Did he say the oil will heal the sick? Did he say that? What is the oil? The oil is symbolic of the anointing or the healing anointing. You need to understand this. The healing anointing is always present. If it wasn't, then they wouldn't be anointing. It's the whole thing is of anointing with oil was to say to, for the person to know that the power to heal is present. The power to heal is always present. The Lord told me when I was a young Christian, he said to me about praying for people, he said, everybody you lay your hands on and pray for, the power of God is always present to heal. All it must be done is responded to by faith. If it isn't present to be healed, then God's not here. Then we have to somehow get him here. How could God be here and healing not be present? I want to understand that one. Well, it isn't always God's will to heal. Well, then God ain't everywhere. If he shows up, he'd come and say, "Hey, Gabriel, take that bucket of healing and take it back to heaven, and I'm going to go over here without that. I'm going to." What do you think? This is the church world today. The church world is full of doubt, unbelief, and things. When God shows up, everything he has and is. When God, you know how I know when God shows up? Because he said he's always here. He lives in me, dear Lord. God, the Holy Ghost, is living inside of me. Hallelujah. I can't go with it. Where am I going to go and get away from the Lord? Where am I going to go? What's that? The Bible says, where are you going to go? Get away from God. Yet Christians are always talking about being away from God. Don't know how to get to God. Where's God? Let's find the presence of God. Let's do this. Let's do that. My God, if they ever read the Bible, it surprised me. I can't get away from God. You know, I go down. The psalmist said, I can go down the grave. No matter where I go, I said, I can go down into hell. He's still there. Dear Lord. Sound like he's pretty present most of the time. I don't know about you. He's pretty present most of the time. And so God is here. He is present. It's a prayer of faith. The prayer of faith. The prayer of faith will heal the sick. The Lord will raise him up if he's committed any sin. So when the elders pray for the sick, the person and the elder are supposed to believe that the sick person will receive their healing at the time they're prayed for. That's the prayer of faith. See, when I pray the prayer of faith over somebody, I lay hands on them and I pray, and you'll hear if you listen to me. It's one of the things that you'll always hear. I talk to people beforehand. And I, you know, bring people over to faith. They're going to get, the healing power is here, whether they receive it or not. But what we're supposed to do is, I always say that, I believe we receive their healing. I believe they receive their healing right now. See, that's what I believe. But you need to understand this. Don't matter how much faith I have in it, if you don't, it won't work. The only way it'll work for you, if a gift of the Spirit would go into manifestation, and I'm just going to be honest with it, people here sitting listening to my teaching are going to see very little of that. God expects them to act in faith. If you've heard the faith message, God expects you to believe. He expects it out of you. You know, it's one of the things, it's like I said, one of the things the Lord taught me in these things, and I proved it out over the years, it works. When I started off as a Christian, God would never allow me to ask somebody to pray for me or anybody to lay hands on me. He said, I want you to learn to get a hold of it yourself. I want you to learn to do that. Why? Because this is the whole thing. Loads of people are teaching today, and they don't, you know, they're teaching the right principles, but they have no experience in it. They can't make it work for themselves. I'm teaching, talking to you, but this stuff works. I've done it. I didn't go and get somebody else to get my family healed. I didn't go to get. Now, I'm not knocking somebody. The Bible tells us we can do it. But the whole thing was God wanted me to come to the place where I could work this thing. Why? Because you can. Just think if you had to wait for somebody else before you could get healed. Well, what happens? You can't get to somebody else. You die? What if you couldn't get it yourself? God, well, I'm sorry, you know. The priest ain't here to sprinkle me with holy water, so ain't getting it this time. To me, the most wonderful things, I can get healing anytime, any place, anywhere. I can get whatever. I can get wisdom anytime, any place, anywhere. I don't have to wait for it. I don't have to wait for somebody or something. I don't have to wait for a right spiritual atmosphere. Oh, just worship just wasn't as good today. I just couldn't hook up. Yeah, because you're full of unbelief. That's what's wrong with you. You came to church full of unbelief. It don't matter what the atmosphere is. The whole thing about faith is you ain't got no faith if you need an atmosphere. My faith has worked under pressure when there was no atmosphere. There was nothing but bad going on. And I stood by faith, and I tell you what, God showed up and manifested himself. I don't want the good feeling faith. I want the God that shows up when everything looks like he would never show up, and you stand in faith and he comes to your rescue. I'm tired of this wimpy, whiny thing that always, everything has to be perfect just like this. You know, wind got to be rolling just like this at 4 miles per hour. And we have to have this, a little bit of smoke over there. And let's have this. And then God will come. Dear God, I like it because you can use faith in the middle of the most horrendous things going on, and you can stand in faith and God shows up for you. The name of Jesus, God is just waiting. God has been waiting for the church to act like the Bible's true. The Lord said this. He told me this. He said it to many others. The Lord said to me, I'm not waiting on the church is not waiting on me for anything. He said, I've been waiting on them. See, God's been waiting on me. He's waiting us to come up to this pulpit, to step up to say, you know, your word's true. You're going to do it, don't matter how I feel. You know, the Bible says, you know, when sin abounds, grace does much more abound. In other words, I mean, our country's downright nasty. Well, this I know. Grace is abounding. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm right in the camp to get my prayer answered. Glory to God. Things look rotten. Hallelujah. Loads of grace.
And people say, well, things are so bad today, and if we could just get more people to do this. No, we get you, you unbeliever, just to step up and act like a Christian sometime and believe God. Crowds of unbelief don't make belief. Well, folks, you know, I'm saying these things because I hope people listen to this. People are sitting in churches, and this is the doctrine of the church. Well, if you just had a little bit of faith, God will do anything. Well, how did that work? God never said that. Talking about faith of mustard seed had nothing but a little bit. That seed could produce a tree, the word says. Has your faith produced a tree? Most people's faith can't produce a thing. Pure faith. A seed will always produce what it says. The seed is the word of God. If God said it in His word, He said if the prayer of faith was prayed over you or by you, you'd get healed. If you operated in the laws of faith. That's the seed. That's the mustard seed faith. That's what it's about. It's a simple, easy process that's not taught. We're taught seeing. We're taught feeling. We're taught all these things. We can tell God's here because I feel the anointing. Sometimes I don't feel the anointing. Sometimes I stand down here and go up and preach and I think, dear Lord, maybe I'll ask Mike if he'll preach this morning. And I want you to tell you what, sometimes it's like that. I tell you, I just feel so darn dead. But I know this. If God don't anoint me, He's an idiot. What do He call me for me and give me a message for and He's not going to anoint me to preach? I don't need a feeling to get up there. What I need is faith. And I step up there and He will anoint me. And then I go home and think, my God, should have I said any of those things, Lord God? You just. But I'm going to tell you what, we can't, the sweet little patting on the back church has killed Christianity. It's not getting prayers answered. The sick aren't getting healed. The lame ain't walking. The blind ain't seeing. Because of weenie faith. God wants you. Just believe. Look, at these things Jesus said. Go home and sit down. If Jesus said it, Jesus, look at it, look at it, look at it. See, this is one thing about preaching this stuff. I look at it all week. And not just this week. I look at it week after. I look at these things and I go into there and I go in there and I look at it and I look at it. And I think, you know, I need to do this or I need to do this. No, you need to look at this. You need to look at this. Till this thing becomes so real and so true in you, you can't see it any other way than what it says. Everybody wants a fast fix. You know, just get it quick, get it quick. It don't work that way. God told Joshua, you're going to meditate day and night if you want to be a success. He didn't say, oh, just come, hurt, get your hands laid on you and everything's going to turn out okay and it's all right. Sometimes you just got to set legitimate things aside and set things down and say, no, God, this is what we're doing. This is where we're walking in. This is where we're going, Lord God. Hallelujah. See, the prayer of faith, if we're going to pray, the reasons people don't pray the prayer of faith, and many times this happens, the person doesn't believe they receive it at the time that they were praying for. They're waiting to just feel better. I'm waiting to feel. When I feel better, then I'll believe it worked. Then I can tell it worked. No, my job is to believe I receive it, whether it works or not. I found out over the years, and I was taught most of the time with myself. There's times I've had instantaneous healings and that stuff, but I learned from standing through things and going through. That's why, you know, I tell the story about when I had the pulled ligament in my foot. Man, I suffered through that thing till that day and into the next day and going to the airport early in the morning and having to walk on a foot. It hurt. Oh my God, did it hurt. Walking on a foot. That hurt. Praise God, thank you God, I'm healed. There was no sign in my body I even had any feel better. I wrapped that shoe up and I slid a sneaker on there. I slid it was a running shoe that I had. You didn't want something light because anything is hurting on there. And, you need about 4 miles of string because you got to stretch that baby open. You don't want anything too tight on that because it hurts enough. And I have an ace bandage around it to hold my foot straight because if it hurts enough, you put pressure on it. But if it moves at all, it's worse yet. If you have any movement in that ankle, it is just worse yet. And it's just sharp pain. And it's like, ah, and I'm going to, praise God, I'm healed. I'll never forget. I went to the ticket counter and went and checked in. I went up to the ticket counter and took my bag up. I went to cry. My foot was hurting and throbbing. You know how it gets the pain just going boom, boom. It's just like, you know, I swore the devil was going on my foot. You know, I was like, oh, that thing hurt. Then I had to go up and go up to the security. Then you got to go through all that. So I got to stand up there, take all this stuff out of my back, take your shoes off. And then I'm thinking about this. This is my mind. My mind's saying, on the other side, you got to put that thing back on. Okay. I did that for a half an hour this morning. I think God knew it was a real joke with it because I put the thing on and I was going to put it on. I went over to the other side. I was going to put it on. But you know, it was the first way the Lord spoke to me about it. All I'm doing is I'm just walking by faith, believing I received my healing. And when I went out over there and I sat down on the bench on the other side of security and I walked over and I sat down on that bench and I took that shoe and I went down like this to put that shoe on, and inside of me, it wasn't some loud voice now, just inside of me says, take that bandage off that foot. And this is the first thought that came to my mind. Oh my God, that thing's going to swell up like a balloon when I pull this thing off of here. That's the first thought that went to my mind. But I knew I heard. I knew I heard from God. So I sat there and said, well, here we go. You obey it. This is why a lot of people don't get healed. They don't ever listen to the Spirit. All they do is listen to their feeling. Man, let's get all this. No, don't do that. You got to use wisdom. I was using wisdom. God gave it to me. He said, take the bandage off. And I unwrapped that foot. And when I unwrapped it, instantly it was healed. Instantly every pain left. All the swelling was there and went down. Instantly. Instantly healed. See, people want a miracle without having to push through to get a miracle. They want a miracle. I want to sit down and not feel anything or hurt anything like that. Give me a miracle. It don't go that way. You know, Jesus made two blind guys keep following him until he went in the house. And they're there, Lord, have mercy. He didn't pay. Why? He's making them walk by faith. If they believe they were going to get something, they need to stay after it. If you believed you're going to get something, you need to stay after it. If you ain't staying after it, you didn't believe you were going to get anything anyhow. Man, I'm going to tell you, I found out this thing works and I'm going after it. I'm going to push this thing and I'm going to push this thing. I'm going to get it. I am going after this thing. I'm going to go there. How many of you remember Larry Weick? Okay, Larry Weick in the wheelchair. Larry Weick had MS. He's going home to be with Jesus. But you know, Larry had, you know, concerning faith in certain areas was very strong. But I'll never forget when Larry was first got born again. Larry with MS, back years ago, they used to give them huge amounts of steroids with people with MS. And they could put them in the hospital and they would put them on IVs and the person would be, you know, like normal for a while. And until it wear off and they do it again. Well, actually, which they found out that, you know, in the long run, they're killing the people is what they were doing to them. Medical science, sometimes they just don't know. They're doing what the wisdom they got. But anyhow, so Larry came along and Larry got started understanding about healing. And Larry said, I'm going off the steroid thing. I'm not going to be doing that anymore. Now, what he would do is they would give him these large doses, but in between, he's taking steroids, smaller amounts all the time. And then he'd go back in every so often and they'd just inject him with a bunch of stuff. But anyhow, so Larry said, I'm going off the steroids. Well, the doctor said to him, well, you can't do that. It'll kill you. You need to understand. You ever notice the people, they give you steroids? They give you a large dose first. And then the next day you take a smaller dose and a smaller dose and a smaller dose and a smaller dose. The reason for that is because you take a large dose of steroids. If you just jerk off of it, it could kill you. It can literally do that. That's why they tell you, make sure you take your dosages when you go off. So when you're taking steroids, they tell you to do that. That's the purpose in it. Well, Larry, it wasn't like a few days. They told him, oh my, you do that, you're going to die. They said, you're just going to die. There's no way you're going to live. If you stop doing that, we'll have to put you through a program and you're going to, because all he had, man, is going to take a long time. And Larry decided he's going to believe God. Well, Larry at that time was going to a church that really didn't preach a whole lot of much of anything. And anyhow, so I don't know if he had ever done it before, but he saw in the scriptures that you call the elders of the church. So he called the elders of the church to come and anoint him with oil and pray the prayer of faith over him. And so they came and did it, and he said hesitantly, they came because they weren't, you know, they'd never done this. Well, you know, this. Understand this. These guys, and you need to understand this about faith, they were not really in faith about this, but Larry was in faith. You know, this one thing that you need. Many times there's people got prayed for by a minister and they credit the minister, and the minister may not have been in faith at all. What matters more about you is you being in faith, not about them. Most important thing when you do, you step up in front of me, you're in faith. And if you're not, don't go play some stupid game and think, you know, someone. You be in faith. A minister can be in unbelief. You can be in faith and get it to work for you. And that's exactly what Larry did. They came to Larry's house. They anointed him and prayed over him. And Larry just believed that he was healed. And he quit taking steroids. Never affected him at all. The doctors were shocked. You should be dead. What? You ain't been taking your steroids? You ain't been, what? No, I quit them. And they're like, what on earth? This is, you know, this just don't happen. Not with the dosage that you've been getting. You ought to be dead. Well, I see faith worked. See, Larry just believed. Larry believed he received something when he got prayed for. He believed he didn't have to take that medication. And he didn't. He acted like it was true. His faith worked. Even with unbelieving ministers. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad your faith can work whether anybody else is or not? I think people just need to get around and excited. Most people are always looking. If they spend as much time getting their own faith built as they do looking for somebody else, they'd be amazed what God would do. It isn't looking for somebody else. It ain't looking for Benny Hinn, thank God. Understand, Benny Hinn's ministry and even Kenneth Hagin's ministry was not the perfect will of God. Kenneth Hagin talked about it. He said the reason God raises up ministry like him, he did Benny Hinn, different ones, is because of the unbelief in the church. And the church gets away from the truth and gets moved away from it. And he raises up special ministries to bring the church back over into faith. He said, God told him, the Lord told him, he said, I shouldn't have to do that, but that's what I have to do. And what the church does, they keep chasing after the ministry and they put all their faith in that. And they don't have, many times people don't have faith in God. They don't have faith in His Word. It's that person. Thank God for all the thing that I learned from Kenneth Hagin was the most. I'll never forget him saying this. He said the greatest faith that a person can have, the greatest place, is you believe God yourself. That's the highest level of faith. The highest level of faith is not getting healed by a gift of healing or something or somebody else praying, doing it. It's you believing God yourself and it comes to pass. That's the highest level of faith. Well, see, he taught us that. It wasn't trusting in him for something or him laying his hand on me. It was me, the highest level. See, people aren't shooting for the highest level. They're not taught the highest level. They think the highest level is somebody else doing something. Gifts of healing ain't the highest level. Gifts of healing take place because of the lack of faith many times in people. I know God for me, and sometimes moving supernaturally, I know why He did it. He did it because of my ignorance. He's just trying to protect the dummy. He knew in my heart I wanted to do what's right, and he's just manifesting Himself on my behalf to wake the space cadet up. You thought He did that stuff because you were so brilliant. Oh my, get a life. You think too much of yourself. Dear Lord. God's good in spite of me. One of the things that I've always tried, and my endeavor has always been to walk in the light that I have. That's one of the reasons why I think God has moved many times for me in many ways, because I'll always try to walk in the light I have and learn to do that, walk in the light you have. It's amazing what He'll do for you, even in the areas that you're ignorant, because you're walking in what you do know. And I'm not trying to say, well, I'm just going to park at this place. I've always went after more to understand more. And so you want to do that. Your faith. I want you to encourage you. I want you to get to the point to realize your faith can bring to pass whatever you need from God. Your faith can. You know, to me, that's the most assuring thing. There's one thing that I knew that I have in control is my faith. I can't have your faith in control. I can't have somebody. I can't have Benny Hinn in control. I can't have some. But I can control concerning my own faith. I can control whether I believe God or not. I can control. Folks, there's nothing more wonderful than that. There's nothing more secure than the fact that you know that I can believe God. I can get, God will move, heaven will move for me when everybody else is in unbelief. Woo! Glory to God! No matter what everybody else is doing, heaven will move for me. Don't you want to live there? Don't you want to live in that place? See, God can't send you to some unbelieving place when you can't believe for yourself. Because you'll wallow with them. That's why God sent me to a church that I thought, my God, send me someplace spiritual. I was just a young Christian. But you know what? The faith that I had and what I understood to do, walking in, I was walking in it. God was doing stuff. He sent me there because of faith. I could stand. I could go there and stand in that place. And he knew that I could. I had enough and learned enough about faith, I could go stand there. See, God didn't send you to know. God, I've had people go, well, God wants me to go to this church and help them. Well, who's going to help you? You can't even get it working. And God sent you there? Doubt that. He ain't going to send you someplace where you're bad off and can't make it work. What are you going to teach them? How to not make it work? People take such great pride. Well, I believe God heals. Well, do you get healed? No, I don't get healed, but I believe He does. Oh, my words. Yeah, people believe the devil can heal. Well, it's like, give me a break. You see, we need to get out of this little, the devil gets us over in these little places, and he gets us in these things, you know, and gets us believing things that really leave us outside of faith and not trusting God. See, God wants to perfect you. God wants you to get over the place where you can get a hold of healing and know how to do it. Why? Because then you can help the ones who can't. You can teach them. You can help them. You can use your faith on their benefit to help them along. But people all stay mediocre, and they're going to wait. Let's wait for Benny Hinn, and then we'll go. I'll go to his service, and he'll just collectively take care of all of us. You know? Ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen. It don't take place. People wonder, and that's where they get the hit and miss thing. Sometimes he does, sometimes he don't. Maybe he will, maybe he won't. See, gifts of healing go into operation in those meetings and people get healed. You'll find the gifts of healings in his meetings most of the time are healing people who aren't saved or people who are nominal Christians that haven't been taught things. But you get people who have been taught faith in that stuff. If they don't operate in faith in those meetings, they don't get healed. See, people need to understand this and how it works. God always expects believers to trust him. God don't expect believers to go to a meeting and sit down and, well, let's see what's going to happen. Well, for you, nothing. See, we're supposed to go believing. Whatever isn't a faith is a sin. See, we think lying, cheating, stealing, sin. Well, it is. But so is unbelief. And we put it there. This is why. Develop your faith. Easy to do. Sit down and read what the Word of God says. Don't listen to what people tell you unless they... It's like this. Go look at the Word. This is why if I tell you something, I go to the Bible. We look at it in the Bible. We look at it what the Word says about it. And so do that. Look at what the Word says. If the Word don't say it just because some man says it from his experience, well, God did... I've heard people tell experiences that they had, and I'll tell you what, I wish they had never said nothing to anybody about their experiences. Yes, they had experiences. But they weren't in line with the Word. They weren't in line with the Bible. See, people act like supernatural all the time. Well, I'll tell you what. Me believing God and get healed is supernatural. I'll tell you, that's one. And no, not an angel. I've never had an angel show up one time, me getting healed. I've never had an angel show up one time when I believed God for money. I never had any visitations. But the money visited me and healing visited me. That's what I was wanting. Most people, they want some kind of other spectacular thing. I think just getting what you ask for is pretty good. Hallelujah, seemed good to me. That's what I want. Well, it will show up, and I have a guarantee, and you have a guarantee too. Jesus said himself, whatever you ask the Father, stand to your feet, whatever you ask, just think about it. Today he's saying this, whatever you. Say, well, what can the pastor do? It don't matter. It's what you can do. He said, whatever you ask, Father, whatever you. Oh, it said, Jesus said, you will receive it. Will. He didn't say, well, you might, this could work. Maybe it won't. We're not quite so sure. What am I supposed to do? At the time that I pray, I am supposed to believe I receive it. That's what I'm supposed to do. At the time that I pray. See, it's not important. I'm not going to lay hands on anybody today. I'm not laying hands on it. Don't need to lay hands on anybody. We don't need to. All we need to do is what God wants us to do is act on the Word today. Act on the Word. Act on the Word ourselves. Our faith. Boy, if I could just get somebody else in there and do it. No, I'm going to. Right now today, if you believe you receive whatever. Now, you have to know what you can believe you receive. You have to know that. You know, sometimes, you know, people and money and stuff, you know, or things. So a person has to know even concerning healing what they can believe. You know, when Jesus, and it's concerning, Jesus appeared to Kenneth E. Hagin, and he talked to him about the areas of healing and about faith for healing. He said to him, He said, divine healing is without the help of any doctors or anything like that. It's divine healing. There's no physical things, food, medicines, or anything involved. He said, that's divine healing. And he used concerning his ministry. He never at any time ministered to people and told them to go see the doctor or blah, 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 you know. He always went in line with the word, what the word said. But he said, if people, because you have this, people many times want divine healing, but they do not have faith for divine healing. They don't have faith for it. Now, the Lord said this to him. He said, if a person goes to the doctor, he said, pray for them. In other words, this is the way you minister to them. In other words, get them over in the area of faith that they will believe for a quick recovery. Because he said, this is what Jesus told him. I want to help my people. That's what I want to do. See, many times people come along and they're asking for something that's on their faith ain't on that level. Well, where's the level of your faith? Where can you believe from? You have to know that. Because understand what we found out about the law of faith. It's what you believe in your heart and say with your mouth. You can go around and say you want divine healing, but if your heart can't believe it, it ain't happening. It ain't happening. There's nothing wrong with operating. Look, I've found this over the years. My faith level rose by me starting realistically where I could believe from. You know, it's like I always told you, the first time Wanda and I ever believed for money, we believed for $20. At that time, $20, I never believed God for a nickel before. I was just learning how to operate in faith. And Wanda and I believe we received $20. I mean, I'll be totally honest. If I needed $10,000 today, it would be easier for me to believe than it did me that $20 back there. I'm serious. That $20 was downright huge at that time because I had never experienced anything coming in that way. I knew generally what the word said, and so Wanda and I agreed, and we believed $20 would come in. And Wanda was walking down the street in Lebanon, nobody around anywhere. She's on the street with the kids by herself, and a $20 bill blew up by the wind to her feet. Now, we just figured that wasn't normal. We just figured that was but I'm going to tell you what it did to our faith. What it did, see, it led you. See, most people are trying to start on a level and they never reach it, so their faith never grows. Because they're always trying to reach up here and they never reach down here. They've never seen things coming to pass for them and their faith. They've gotten other people to pray for them, they've gotten healed and things have happened, but their faith has never produced. They never see anything with their faith. You got to hook over to where your faith produces and inspire your own faith. Inspire your own faith. See, when I would get an answer on a smaller level, the next time come up, we're taking more. I'm taking more this time. You know, the next time, it's going to be $20. You know, we went to 100. And we might as well went to 10,000 because 100 was a big step. Some people say, well, that ain't much. Well, do it with your faith. Bring $100 in without you doing anything or saying anything. Just an extra $100 show up. I've done it with tens and tens of thousands. I don't go around trying to make it happen. I don't try looking for a way to make money in or nothing. I don't do it. I tell God, I call in what I want, and I stand there, and it'll show up. It'll show up. There's $250,000 coming to me. $250,000 is on its way to me. Hallelujah. $250,000. It's on its way to me. Say, can you see it? No. How's it going to come? I don't care how it's going to come. God got to bring it because I know how to get it here. I've operated in faith. It has to come to me. Amen. It don't have a choice but come to me. But I'm going to tell you, years ago, you'd have told me to do that. You might as well have told me, you know, go jump off a cliff, you'll live. I'd say, yeah, well, we're dying tomorrow. See, but you start down things that are little. You start at little things. Build your faith. Nothing shameful about going to the little. It's nothing shameful. What is a shame is people go to the doctor and Christians don't even use your faith going to the doctor. That's a shame. They don't believe they're going to get anything when they go there. They're just going to see if the doctor can do it for them because all their faith's in that doctor. And that poor doctor, we put so much pressure on doctors, I feel sorry for them. We expect doctors to do stuff that requires our faith to do it, and we want the doctor to keep doing it for us. Man, give that poor guy a hand. Use your faith and give that man a break. Hallelujah. Help him along. Don't expect him to do everything. Using your faith. Hallelujah. Wanda and I have done it over the years, and we've seen things like we did with Wanda when she had her open heart surgery. We had everything we believed for came to pass. See, somebody might say, well, why did she just believe, you know, that, you know, her heart was healed? Well, She stood where she believed she could stand, and it worked. And that's more than most people can't even do it with a cold. They're running and taking medicine. Telling me, well, why didn't you stand and believe God? They can't even believe God for sniffles. Get a little headache, got to pop something in her mouth, telling me. Folks, this stuff's true. Might as well get over it. See, people turn around, they talk about faith, know very little about it, understand very little about it and how it works. We're talking about faith. I'm just telling you how the realism, this is realistic, how it works. And you learn to do this. If you need to take something, take something. Don't expect somebody else to do something you can't do. Don't expect it out of them. Hallelujah. I mean, Wanda went through that. The doctors were just downright amazed. They just couldn't believe. He sent those nurses to the house. They couldn't figure it out. Wasn't nothing wrong with her. They were supposed to have these nurses come in. They're doing all this stuff. And they come in, ain't got nothing to do. But the insurance company said he got to come. And then they got a physical therapist. And he came, and the first time he showed up and looked at her and said, you don't need no physical therapist. He said, I expect to walk to see somebody who just had heart surgery. And he said, my God, he said, you're better off than most people who have been out of heart surgery for months. See, it's a testimony of faith. See, faith's working. Faith is working. And that's what you want. If you're using faith, and I'm totally convinced, if you're using faith, you shouldn't have to go the long term like everybody else does in problems. You shouldn't have to. You should have something better. But get realistic. Where can I? What can I believe? There's one thing that Wanda's very good at. She believes she'll go through something. She did this three times. She had two times foot surgery, and she did it with this open heart surgery. All three times, she said, I ain't going to have any pain. And every time she went through, she never had pain, never took any pain medication, nothing. That's pretty darn good. You get your chest cut open. See if you can do that. She went to leave the hospital, and they felt comfortable if she would take a pain shot before she left. She said, I don't have no pain. Well, we would like you to have one. It made them feel good. I said to her, honey, take the shot so they don't drop over. You know, give them poor people a break. She came home. They had prescriptions for pain. It was never taken. Why? She had no pain. That's what we believe. See, God, according to what we had, according to what we believe. That's, isn't that wonderful? Amen. We didn't call a prayer chain. God liked us enough. God likes you enough. Get that in you. God likes you enough. God likes you enough. God will respond to your words from your heart. God will respond from the words from your heart. You get the right words in the inside. And you say them. Oh, I'll tell you, I believe there's such an excitement in heaven when faith goes. To think that Jesus said, when I come back, will I find faith? I'm going to tell you what. Hallelujah. He will in this church. Amen. He will in this place. Hallelujah. People believe God. Father, I just want to thank you this morning, Lord God. Lord, Lord, we all don't have the same things or facing the same problems. Different things go on. Lord God, Lord, some people are facing just spiritual challenges. And Lord God, some people, maybe it's financial. Lord God, there's some people financial concerning their body, healing, deliverance, whatever it might be. But I want to thank you, Lord, today. Because, Father, your wonderful Son, Jesus, the Redeemer of all mankind, said, if I used his name when I approach the throne of God in prayer, that you would give us anything we ask. Lord God, you're absolutely marvelous. Lord, my mind can't really wrap around it, but I'm not interested. My heart can believe it. My heart can believe it's true. Lord God, my mind keeps throwing little things out there of skepticism on the side. Well, what about this? But Lord God, my mind will not run this show. My heart is, and my heart is at rest right now in the name of Jesus. My heart's at peace concerning your word. My heart knows that your word's true, that you will always do according to your word. Lord God, you are so gracious, it's phenomenal. Lord, the fact that you handed us such a promise. Lord, my mind just cannot grasp. Because, Lord, it's like you handed us a limitless a limitless authority that is so phenomenal that all that Jesus won and all that He did is put at our disposal under the authority of His name. And then you, Father God, are sitting there saying, come to me in that name and I'll give you whatever you need, whatever it is. And all you have to do is believe you receive it when you pray. That's all you have to do. That's all you're... Yes. And just let me say this to you folks here. That's your job, is to believe you receive it. That is your job. That's your job. Anything else you're doing is outside the job of what Jesus said. You're supposed to believe at the time that you pray, you believe you receive it. What is it today? I'm asking you, what is it today that your need is? What is it that you're after today that you want? Where is a place that you can believe to trust for today? Pick a spot where you know that you can believe you receive it. Pick that spot. You'll get to the place where you'll get a hold of it beyond that. You'll get there. Don't worry about it. Get where you can right now of what you can believe. Get there right now. Take a hold of that thing. Look in your heart. You know in the inside of you where you can believe. Don't look at your mind. Your mind will say all kinds of things to you. Look at the inside. On the inside, that place where there's rest and peace. On a place on the inside where there's confidence toward God. That place. Take a hold of that place. Take a hold of that place. And when I go from here to pray, you make your confession of what you believe you receive. Father, I want to thank you, Lord God, for the prayer of faith, because in the name of Jesus, we approach you right now. And Father God, I want to thank you that in the name of Jesus, Lord God, there's healing right now. We can believe we receive healing right now. If healing's needed, healing, hallelujah, we can believe it's ours right now in the name of Jesus. If there's finances needed, Lord God, we can believe for our financial needs right now, met in the name of Jesus. Jesus, I want to thank you. We believe we'll receive them now, hallelujah. And the Lord God, your word says we'll have them, hallelujah. They're already coming on their way. Devil, get your hands off of God's people's money in the name of Jesus. Get your hands off of it. In the name of Jesus, we command the money to come in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. What the scripture says, given it shall be given unto you. Hallelujah. You're going to reap at the measure that you give. You're going to reap at the measure that you give. You're going to reap. So don't go crazy if you don't give much. Don't go crazy. Don't ask Him for a bunch of money. Hallelujah. God said He gives seed to the sower. He don't give seed to the guy who doesn't sow. He gives seed to the person who sows. Hallelujah. You need to understand that. Sow. You need to sow. So there's things you got to do. Hallelujah. But God will meet your need. If you've messed up in that area, well, today just start off to set yourself to do what's right. Just start today and say, Lord, I'm going to set myself. I've missed it. And you know what He said? Just like He said with wisdom. He didn't say with wisdom, you know, if you've messed up, I'm going to kick you in the pants and ain't going to talk to you no more. He didn't say that. He said He does it without reproach. He does it liberally without reproach. He'll forgive you today, just like anointing the sick with oil. If you've missed it in sin, He'll forgive you. Hallelujah. So just say, Lord, forgive me. I'm going to set myself to do what's right. I'm going to set myself. You know, God will heal you on credit. He's so good. Hallelujah. Just because you confess it and you say you're going to do right, He'll pick it up for you. Hallelujah. Then you just start doing what the Word says. And He'll bless you. Hallelujah. So you don't have to turn around and hang your head down and say, poor old me, I can't get nothing. Yes, you can. Hallelujah. You have a good God. There's some of you have been dealing with the areas of tormented mind. Your mind's been a lot of problems. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Your minds have been problems. See, you can receive peace of mind in the name of Jesus. Now, the peace of mind isn't peace. You've got to have to, concerning your mental thoughts, you're going to have to do something about those. But you can have peace on the inside of you, a peace that passes all understanding. Darlene has read about today. That peace is not a physical mental, because outside things can go on to try to make torment to you. It's about on the inside. It's coming into contact with what's on the inside of you. You know what's inside of you is the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is a representative of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. Oh my God, the Prince of Peace. On the inside, I'm so at peace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You gotta be at peace. Your prayer's getting answered. If you believe your prayer's getting answered and you ain't at peace on the inside, something's wrong with your little knucklehead sitting up there. Something's wrong with that thing. See, on the inside, don't matter what that thing is saying up there, on the inside. On the inside, that's where God's at, on the inside. And the Holy Ghost ain't in there today tormenting you. He's on the inside of you saying, just relax and rest. Relax, just trust. Hallelujah. Just trust. Trust, hallelujah. I'll bring it to pass. Receive it. I'll bring it to pass. I'll bring it to pass. Receive it. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Glory to God. And then let that glory that's on the inside get on the outside. Let that glory on the inside. Let that inner man renew that thing between your ears that's been tormenting you. Let the inside. Quit looking at the outside. Quit talking about the problems that are going on. Quit talking about the past. The past never. You know, they're busy. Oh, we learn from our history. We've never learned from our history. Read the children of Israel. They never learned from their history. I'm going to tell you what. I'll tell you what you learned from. You know what I learned from my history? I don't want none of it. I don't even want to bother spending time with it. That's what I can tell you about my history. Hallelujah. My history was just craziness. Wild, but I got a history now that's in Christ Jesus. And it's a renewed day by day glory to God. That's what we got. A day by day glory. You got a day by day glory going on you. Renewed day by day. Hallelujah. What a history. Hallelujah. Getting better every day. Oh, glory. That's what's working on the inside of you. That's what the Holy Ghost is doing. He's refreshing the inner man. He's refreshing. Same Spirit raised Jesus from the dead, making alive the mortal body. He's so powerful on the inside, it's changing my body. Glory to God. Hallelujah. My body is getting better because of the one on the inside of me. He's inside of you. He's inside of you working. Hallelujah. See, you can't stay straight-faced. You got to be happy. I tell you, you got to get a smile on your face. If you believe this stuff's true, my God, I want to go take a running spell. Glory to God. This stuff's good. It is so wonderful. It is so good because it's the Word of God that's true. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord God, Lord, you bless these people with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Every blessing that the covenant has, you've already given it to them. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord God, you sure do love them. You sure do love them. You gave it to them, and not because they earned any of it. You gave them the day they got born again, and they hadn't done nothing. They did nothing. They didn't earn any of it. And you said, it's theirs. It's theirs. They have it. I want to thank you, Lord God. This is a blessed people. They're blessed. Hallelujah. They're not cursed. They're not cursed. They're blessed. Hallelujah. When the prophet was called and said he was supposed to curse Israel, God said to him, how can you curse those who God blessed? Hallelujah. There's no such thing as Christians having a curse on them. There's curse because the people live under a curse. You know why they do? Because they believe one. They believe in a curse. They believe in being cursed. There's no such thing as. Hallelujah. I ain't cursed. I'm blessed. How could you curse him? God's blessed. I just tell you, if the children of Israel, under the old covenant, you couldn't curse them because God blessed them, what about the church? Amen. See, we have such bad teaching out here, and I've heard that stuff over the years. All this stuff and cursing and that stuff. Don't matter to me. The devil's done all that kind of stuff. He ain't getting nowhere. I'm already blessed. I ain't trying to get blessed. If the devil came to me and said, I'm going to curse you, I'm going to just tell him, it's too late. I'm blessed. You can't bless him, God's cursed. You can curse him, God's blessed. You're wasting your time. We get to laugh a little bit at you. And so he goes away because he don't like laughed at. And I won't preach that stuff. You know, I got a generational curse. Well, good. Wonderful confession. You just cursed yourself. See, God can't curse me, but I can curse me by talking dumb. I am a chosen generation. I'm a royal priesthood. I'm a holy nation. Oh, I thought I was cursed. I thought I had a generational curse. There ain't no generational curses in the kingdom. It only comes through unbelief and false teaching. And so we curse ourselves. Because what? The devil can't curse whom God's blessed, but I can curse myself. By believing wrong stuff. Curse myself. See, these are good things because you know what? This stuff's starting to come back again. These teachings. Whenever you get moves of God, this kind of unbelief starts back again and people start bringing it back to the forefront and start bringing this stuff up. See, I've been in the ministry long enough to see the cycles and watch the cycles on this stuff, how it comes around. And what some years ago stuff is starting to come back around again. Here it comes. And people got new revelations. Yeah. A new revelation that leads to more problems. Revelation never... You know, if I've walked free all these years, I need to find out about a generational curse. Well, it should have gotten me a long time ago. Why would I have it now? I've been living free, ignorant of it. What do I want to find out about it for? I mean, how stupid can these people get? And people buy it because we lack a new thing. We lack something new. All these curses and stuff, all they do is magnify the devil. And people don't realize it. When they talk about it, they're worshiping the devil of him being big. I want to tell you, Jesus is big. Amen. And I'm seated with the big one. in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that's named. And that's where you're sitting. Hallelujah. The devil is under our feet. And he is so far under our feet, he can't even see the bottom of your shoe. He's far beneath us. You know, so don't write something on the bottom of your shoe to read it. He's illiterate anyhow. He must be. He turned against Jesus. He must have been a fool. You know, he sure ain't too bright. So don't expect him to be able to read. My God, we got the new covenant. And he don't know what it says. Well, he doesn't. The Bible tells us it's concerning the mysteries are going to be revealed to the spirits, those spirits by us. He don't even know what it says. Why? He don't have the Holy Ghost ain't teaching him. He's a created being. People just think he's big. We've been trained that he's big. I'm going to tell you what, he ain't big. He got licked by Jesus, and we got the victory over him. And the Bible says this, he would have never crucified the Lord of glory if he had known the dumb thing he was going to do and what was going to happen to him. Hallelujah. He'd have never crucified him. Hallelujah. He'd have never crucified him because he'd have said, my God, I'm going to have to put up with these guys. Oh, my. So it was tough with one Jesus. Now I got a whole bunch of them out here walking on me. Now we got a truckload of these boys over here stomping around on me. This ain't no fun. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, you're absolutely wonderful. And we declare ourselves free today. Amen. Because whom the Son has set free is free indeed. And Lord God, we're not trying to get free. We are. Hallelujah. Sin does not have dominion over us. Sickness doesn't have dominion over us. Poverty does not have dominion over us. Troubled minds don't have dominion over us. Hallelujah. Father God, we're living in that place of our priesthood and our kingship. Hallelujah. Lord God, reigning as kings in life. Hallelujah. Walking, Lord God, as people in charge. No, not like people who are just being pushed around. We're not slaves of anybody. Jesus Christ, we submit to you as a servant completely on our will because you never demand us. Get down and bow. Lord God, it's completely on a voluntary basis because you want us to respond by faith. And we call you King and we call you Lord because you're so wonderful and you're so glorious and so good. And we bow to you because we love to bow to you. We love what you did. Hallelujah. We love worshiping you. We love following you. There's none like you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And we will not bow to the world and the world system and the one who rules it, Lucifer. We will not bow to you by any means. Hallelujah. We stand against you in the name which is above every name, and you will bow before the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You will bow in Jesus' name. You have no choice. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Father God, for the blessing. Thank you for the blessing. Thank you for the blessing. Hallelujah. Lord God, everybody here is blessed. The people are blessed. Hallelujah. The people are helped. The people are strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Hallelujah. Lord God, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Well, I don't know if you preach you happy, but I tell you what, glory to God makes you want to use your faith. Say, my God, I've been believing too little. You're just like, whew, man, let's step out into something. But sit down and look, go home to, you know, and start doing this. Sit down and looking, examine yourself where your faith's at. Examine where it's at. Don't play games with it. You don't have to put up to anybody else or what somebody else to do. You know, I'm not trying to match Benny Hinn. I don't have to. What it is for myself to find out where I can go in my faith and what I could do or some other guy. You don't have to match up to somebody. Find out where you can stand. And where you can stand, start to believe God in areas. Take an area, you know. And if it seems small, don't matter. You find out where your faith is at on it and take a hold of it. I will guarantee your faith will grow. It will. But if you don't, it won't ever grow. It'll never. You'll be just as weak in faith next year as you are right now. You take it a little bit at a time. It's like the Lord had me tell a guy, you know, one time, you've heard the saying, people say, how do you eat an elephant? He said, one bite at a time. You know, you can't swallow an elephant whole. Did you ever notice that? I know some people probably could. But anyhow, you can't eat an elephant. But anyhow, the Lord had me say that to a guy one time because he was having trouble in his areas of faith. It's why? Because he needed something big, but he didn't have the faith for it. And he kept trying to get the big thing, and he was never getting anything. And the Lord said, you go ask him how you eat an elephant. And I thought, what? Here you are, minister people. I said, how do you eat an elephant? That really sounds nice and spiritual, don't it? I do. He said, I don't know. I said, yeah, one bite at a time. And I said, that's what you got to start doing. I said, you're trying to reach your faith where it can't go. But I said, if you start taking a bite at a time, I said, after a while, you can take some big bites. You know, I was a little kid, used to like to, we had stairway, you know, up to our second floor in the house, you know, and you'd like to skip steps, you know. And used to see how often you could bang your shins when you missed them steps. And then cry for 30 minutes, because, boy, that hurts when you hit your shin. Dear God. But, you know, as I got bigger, man, they could zip up them steps, you know, no sweat taking big ones. But when I was little, man, you try to do them. It was best to do one step at a time, and you could pick up some speed on them, but you had to do one step at a time. Your faith is much like that. Your faith is much in the same way. See, a lot of people started up, went three steps, hit their shins, and said, see, this faith stuff don't work. There's nothing about the faith stuff. They weren't in faith. They couldn't go where they went. You know, my parents didn't say, what's wrong with you, Ed, that you can't take five steps like your older brother? They never said that. They didn't expect me to. I was the only guy that thought I should do that. See, you take it where you can. Get the answer where you can. And I will guarantee you, you'll grow. And next time you're going to take two steps. You'll just go right to take two steps. You won't have to go. And you'll find it just it goes that way. In fact, the multiplication is just, it's amazing how it goes with your faith when you get a hold of something. It was amazing how over a short period of time that Wanda and I went from $20 was so huge to where we could believe for thousands of dollars. We took vacations and believed God for thousands of dollars to come in and take vacations. We had didn't have no money in the bank for it, had nothing for it. Believed God, the money came in, we took vacations. And it wasn't a long time. It wasn't huge long times, and that stuff started happening to us. But why? It started down in little things. $20, $100, and boy, you needed $200 next time. You needed $250. Wow, that was, after a while, I was like, man, $50, and after a while, $1,000, we believe $1,000 come in. We'd get it, and we could get it when we needed it. And it would always show up. It would show up every time. It'd show up. When I needed it, it was there. Hallelujah. And see, your faith will go there too. There's nothing special. I didn't do anything special. All I did was practice what Kenneth Hagin said. You know, I messed some of it up along the way with my own ideas. But when I followed what he said, he had proved out over the years concerning the Word of God. You follow it. Stay with the Word. It'll work and your faith will grow. And it'll be amazing what you'll be able to do with your faith. Hallelujah. And that's what you want, where your faith works for you. When you know it works, you know you can take a hold of somebody else. Because most of the time, people that want you to hook up with them, it's because they're in a place they can't really get theirs to work. And you can tell them how to get it to work. Get them in a place. I find out where people are believing from. Let's go from this point where you can. Let's get this thing. And get them something. But see, if you can't do it for yourself, you can't do it with them. So get yours working good. Hallelujah. Some of you are more developed in certain areas of faith than you are in others. That's good. I mean, that's normal. People are, you know, just like kids in school. They go in different grades, learn different things. They're proficient in certain levels, and some of them ain't quite as proficient in. And as you go along, they try to balance all that out and teach them. Well, you got to do that as a Christian concerning your faith. You know, learn to pick up in areas. You know, one of the things God emphasized in me was healing. He told me he wanted to get in those areas to teach people healing, teach people how it works. He said, I want you to know how it works. You can tell people how healing works. He said healing was, he said, was more important, he said, than any one of the things. It wasn't finances. It was healing. He told me this. He said, you get my people well, they'll have money. Just imagine how much money our country would have if we could solve the sick problem. We'd have trillions of dollars. Trillions of dollars. Look how many people that are dealing today, how much health care is costing people and stuff. Just think about what if you didn't have health care costs with yourself today and things and stuff going on. Money in your pocket. You're well. Don't miss work. Don't ever miss work. See, I don't ever miss work. I'm productive. See, God blesses the labor of my hand. If I'm sick, my labor of my hand can't get blessed. I'm sick. I ain't laboring. See, the devil will keep you sick so you don't labor. So you don't get blessed. That's what he does. See, the devil don't want you to produce nothing. He don't want you to be at work. Do you ever notice they only pay you when you go to work? Do you ever notice that? I don't know, maybe if you find a place that'll pay you when you don't go to work, I'd be a boy, just I'll go get a job there. What do you think? You got to show up for work. Why? Your paycheck gets bigger. I used to always like those people when I worked at RISC and complain about their paycheck. They missed, you know, 3 days out of their paycheck time, and they were wondering why their pay was, well, me and my pay was, well, if you came to work, it wouldn't happen. You know, They wanted to have it. Why? They're following the principle of God. They bless the labor of your hand, and when you don't work, they don't pay you. I wonder where they got that. Must have been the devil. See, the socialism don't have that. Socialism is if you don't go to work, which is the devil's plan, then the people who do work pay you like you go to work. They call that today love. That's how you bankrupt a nation. That's how you bankrupt a nation. Every nation that does that can never stand financially. No nation has ever done it. And the Antichrist is pushing that system right now, big time, and the church is buying it like crazy out of being love and helping people. And it's only going to lead to destruction. Europe's finding it out. And the United States is only now buying it. And Europe's figuring out, man, we're going to go under if we keep doing this thing. It ain't working. And the United States is saying, let the devil bring his system in. Let it in. And the church is behind it, saying, yes, we're going to love people and take care of everybody. We're going to be their God, and they'll come and worship us of how wonderful we are. We're so nice, we take care of all their needs according to our riches in our pockets or in your pocket, whichever it is. You know how long socialism lasts? As long, it only lasts as long as you have money in your pocket. When you don't have any more money, it quits. That was what happened to the Soviet Union. It broke up because it ran out of people who worked. It ran out of their money. How sad. Praise God. But we ain't going there, folks. Amen. We're going on to glory. Amen. Glory to God. We don't have to take down today. Another good one. Hallelujah. Thank God. Hallelujah. Well, be blessed. Hallelujah, and have some wonderful testimonies about what your faith has done. Amen? Amen.